It has been a blessing to sing together today. I am so glad to get to sing to God, sing His praises with you today. I've been looking forward to this all week, and really we've been looking forward to this for months. And so praise God. Welcome to those of you who have are back with us for the first time in a long time today. It is so good to see you. It has made our hearts light to be together with you today. Those of you who are with us online, we look forward to having you back in person. And until then, we're glad to have you with us online. We're so grateful that you can join us in this way. And we're glad to be able to worship God together today. We've been studying through the Gospel of Luke. And today, as we come near the end of our study, we'll finish it up next week, we come to the story of Jesus' crucifixion. Now, we haven't gotten to sing together for a while, and I don't know about you, but I'm not tired of it yet. And so, if you don't mind, let's sing together some parts of the story of the crucifixion of Jesus as we go through this lesson. We will tell some of the story in song. Let's begin with this one. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where He prayed. They led Him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify Him, He's to blame." One of the most remarkable traits of Jesus, certainly a trait that all of us who follow Him aspire to emulate, is how from His baptism to His final breath, He always trusted God. Jesus' trust in God never wavered, no matter what happened. He always trusted God. When He fasted and was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness, he still trusted God. When people in Nazareth tried to throw him off a cliff right there in his hometown because of something he said when he was preaching, he still trusted God. When he healed people on the Sabbath and some of the religious leaders despised him for it, he had just done the right thing. He trusted God. When he ate with sinners and tax collectors and the religious establishment disapproved of him for it, he trusted God and he kept on doing what God wanted him to do. In all these hardships, it was always clear that Jesus entrusted his life to God. Whatever people disapproved of, whatever they tried to do to him, he always kept his focus on God. He was committed to doing God's will because he trusted God. Now, at the end of his life, nothing about his focus changes. He's the same person he always was. He is still focused on God. He still entrusts himself to God to the very end. In the Gospel of Luke, the last thing Jesus says before he dies is, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." This is the story of his crucifixion from the book of Luke, chapter 23, beginning in verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. We saw thee not when thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we to the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, "Woman, behold thy son." He cried, "I thirst for water," but they gave him none to drink. Then the sinful work of man was done. He In Luke, the last thing Jesus says on the cross before he dies is, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He entrusts himself to God to the very end. In fact, in Luke, Jesus speaks three times while he's on the cross. And in each time he speaks, you can see his trust in God shining forth from him. So in verse 34, as Jesus is hung on the cross, as soldiers down below are dividing up his clothes, Jesus prays, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Even at that terrible moment, he trusts so strongly in God's justice, believing that God will make things right in the end, that he knows judgment is going to come upon these people who are killing him. And he also trusts so strongly in God's mercy that he cries out to God to forgive these people so they will not have to face God's judgment. He trusts in God both ways. And he trusts so firmly in God's love for him that he knows what's going to happen to him. He knows his destiny in just a short time is going to be that God will raise him from the dead. He has foretold his resurrection a couple of times already in Luke. And so despite the pain and the anguish and the shame that he's experiencing at that moment on the cross, he is able to look beyond himself and ask God to forgive others. For us too, it's because we trust in God that we are able to ask God to forgive others. And it's because we trust in God that we are able to forgive them ourselves. We trust that God forgives us, and so we also find the strength to forgive others. We trust in both the judgment and the mercy of God, and so we call on God even for the forgiveness of our enemies. In verse 43, the second time Jesus speaks, he tells the repentant criminal on a cross right beside him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus trusts that even though from the outside it appears that he is being destroyed and God has forsaken him, he's not the king of the Jews, he's not the Messiah, even though that's how it looks on the outside, he looks like he's been abandoned there on the cross. In reality, God is still with him, and God will take him to be with himself in paradise. In the New Testament, the word paradise appears three times. This is one, and the other two, it refers to the realm in which God dwells, what we usually call heaven. That's where Jesus trusts that God will take him later this day when he dies. And so he tells the criminal, "Today you will be with me in paradise," because he believes he himself will be there. Jesus will be with God. And Jesus trusts that God still, even at this terrible moment, loves him and grants him authority as his son. So that Jesus can save this criminal who, by his own admission, is getting what he deserves. And so Jesus promises this man grace. This criminal will receive forgiveness from God and will be with Jesus in paradise shortly. For us too, it's because we trust in God that we can show mercy even in our darkest moments. It's because we know God is still with us at those moments that we are able to care what happens to another person even as we endure our own pain. And it's because we believe God has absolutely secured our destiny, that we will live in his presence one day, that we can show love and compassion to the people around us today like Jesus did for this repentant criminal, in the hope that they too will live in God's presence one day. Even in death he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion. Then if that In verse 46, the third time Jesus speaks on the cross, the last thing Jesus says before he dies is, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In the end, it's just him and God. And he trusts God to be there for him, even as his body fails. Until Jesus comes again, and may he come quickly. Until he comes again, each of us will have to face this moment, which when it's just us and God, when everything else in life falls away. At that climactic moment, we who have trusted in God will not lose hope. We will remember Jesus, and we'll remember how trustworthy God was to him, that he did not leave him in the grave. And we will recall how trustworthy God has been to us all along since the day we first put our faith in him. So we will trust God all the way to our last breath and then beyond. And with our mouths or in our hearts, at that moment, we will say with Jesus, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." As we have lived our lives trusting God, so we will depart this life trusting God. For we, like Jesus, believe that by God's power, our spirits will find peaceful rest in his hands until Jesus comes again and God raises us from the dead. And so if this is how we hope to finish our lives, with trust in God, let us live trusting him today as well. Doing what Jesus did, even on the cross, forgiving, showing mercy, affirming our trust in God. Even as Jesus died, he taught us how we should live. And so we say with Jesus, every day until our very last, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. As it turned out, and of course it was no surprise to Jesus, the cross was not the end of his story. He breathed his last. The centurion watching over the crucifixion scene was amazed at the way he died and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." The people who watched him die beat their breasts and went away. The women who had followed him watched. The whole scene was overwhelmingly sorrowful. The Messiah, the Son of God, had died. But that was not the end. It is where we'll stop for today, but it was not the end. We'll wrap up today with Jesus' burial. So chapter 23 again, and now verse 50. "Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment." Jesus died and was buried in a tomb. But this was not the end, because God was faithful to his Son. And so we'll leave the story of Jesus here for now, but we will remember his resurrection next week. There are several indications in this story that Jesus' trust in God was well placed. Most impressively, all the prophecies that were fulfilled as he was being killed and as he was buried. His being crucified with two criminals, the soldiers casting lots to divide his garments, the way the rulers mocked him, the soldiers who offered him wine vinegar to drink, his being buried in the brand new tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man. All these events fulfilled prophecies written in Isaiah or in the Psalms or elsewhere, 700 to 1,000 years before the time of Jesus. They were signs that God was still in control here and that Jesus' trust in him was well placed. And the terrifying miracles, the curtain of the temple was torn in two and the sun refused to shine for 3 hours in the middle of the day. Jesus saw all this playing out in front of him as he hung on the cross. And it all confirmed to him that he could trust God. And all these signs and prophecies confirm that we can trust God too. If God was faithful to Jesus, then he will also be faithful to us who follow Jesus. But most of all, we trust God because of what happened next. Because he raised Jesus from the dead. We'll talk about Jesus' resurrection next week.
Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clear.
May God bless you today. Thank you for sharing in this lesson. Thank you for speaking, singing some of the words of this lesson yourself too. Let's pray together. Our dear God, thank you for the story of Jesus. Thank you for the story of his sacrifice, of his death, and as we'll talk about next week, of his resurrection. Lord, we praise you. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for the great things that you did in the life of Jesus and that you were doing even as he died. He reminds us, Lord, that we can trust in you no matter what happens, even to our last breath and beyond, we can trust in you. Help us to trust you this week. Lord, it's been a hard year for us. A lot of us have been apart for a year. Some are back today and we praise you, and some will come back when they are able, and we praise you and we pray for them, Lord, and we pray for one another. Lord, help us, whatever happens tomorrow, whatever happens next week or 3 weeks from now, Lord, whatever happens a year from now, help us to trust in you until Jesus comes again. Lord God, we praise you for Jesus' sacrifice, which pays for our sins, that we may be forgiven and reconciled to you. Thank you for your great love. We do trust in you. Help us to trust in you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.